Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Hideous Laughter Podcast, episode 21. We're drinking age, folks.
Hell yeah.
I think it's obligatory to say something like that at every podcast has to.
Every podcast has a 21st. Yeah. Sorry. Well, except the ones that don't get off the ground.
Oh. Suckers.
Or into the water, as it were.
You know, I heard some podcasts skip their 21st episode because it's bad luck.
Yeah, a lot of the Japanese ones, right? Yeah, yep.
So I thought we'd take it old school, go around the horn, see what everybody's drinking.
Wow.
Prepare to be whelmed.
Well, Steve, why don't you kick us off, bud?
Well, I forgot that I was going to crack this can on air and did it beforehand, so we're off to a great start. This is a Liquid Death severed lime varietal there. Big old tall boy can. I'm going to be drinking some sparkling water tonight.
All right. Brooks, you got anything good over there?
I do. I have a little Japanese coffee whiskey.
Ooh.
Neat.
Mm. Mm. How neat is that?
That's pretty neat.
Haley, you got anything?
I have a 40-ounce cup of ice water.
Mm. Four-ounce cup of ice water.
Hanging out on the water talk too much.
Is that a Stanley?
It's not.
She's playing one Edward 40 hand. She can control the mouse on the VTT and the other is just duct taped to the tumbler.
Emily, you got anything?
I do. I'm drinking a raspberry bubbly this evening. So some raspberry sparkling water. But before this, to really set the mood for the episode, not exactly a drink really at all, but I had some Sea Monster ice cream, and now I'm ready for all of our seafaring adventures.
What is that?
Yeah, what's the flavor behind that guy?
I was very curious, so I had to pick it up when I saw it at work and was like, well, now I need to eat this. It is blue ice cream. And it's essentially like cookies and cream flavored. So there's like a cookie chocolate throughout. And then they also put cookie dough in it. So it's kind of like Cookie Monster, but not.
What do you think that has to do with the sea?
The blue food coloring.
It's blue.
Huh. All right. That's a stretch.
They're probably not legally allowed to call it Cookie Monster.
I think so. It was a private label, so they definitely aren't paying for the royalties of getting a character.
And the chunks are all the poop you find inside a sea monster when you cut it open.
That's right.
Wow.
I didn't like that, Griffin.
That's a weird place. Mm.
My favorite ice cream has imaginary poop chunks in it.
What if they're just sea monster eggs? They could be just little
eggs. I don't know. You made them sound pretty brown to me.
There's more than that in sea monsters.
It's chocolate chip cookie dough and like a cookie chunk swirl.
There could be plastics, license plates, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, gummy license plates. Sea monster ice cream. Ah, that hurt my teeth. What is that? Oh, it's a nerd six pack.
Wow, a Twizzler net.
These are some great ice cream concepts. We'll have to see if we can get some of them brought to reality.
Pass them up the chain.
That's why they pay us the big bucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come up with a good ice cream concept.
I'll take them to innovation, see what they say. Be fun for the kids.
The logistics of molding gummy trash.
Hey, if they can't do it on their own, they need some consultation. I mean, we've got, you know, we'll send them what our hours are.
Yeah. 3D print them a mold.
Yeah. Art needs to imitate reality, so if we're going to make sea monster ice cream that emulates what you might find in the sea, got to have a bunch of human refuse in there.
Oh, what if you put like one action, like you know, a toy soldier-sized sailor in every pint?
Ah, like a king cake.
Yeah, or like the eggs that used to be popular that we can't buy anymore. Yeah. You know, a little toy at the bottom of a Happy Meal type.
They do it with cereal. They should do it with ice cream.
Yeah.
And they could just have all cookie dough and call it the giant Pacific trash pile.
Well, that's a concept is you take all that trash and you shove it together in a ball in the center.
The fudge core.
The fudge core.
This could be a great sustainability line where we really tackle the big problems of the world.
Well, I think what they tell you to do is to make a root beer float with it, and then the ice cream will slowly kind of dissolve, but the trash mound will float in the middle.
Yes. And it's, yeah, leaves that foamy bits on the top.
The best. It's reminiscent of the Pacific Trash Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Chris, you got anything to drink?
I don't. I usually bring a beer with me to these sessions. I'm all out, and I was lazy, too lazy to go to the grocery store today, and I missed snagging a Founder Solid Gold from the garage as I went in, so your boy's got nothing.
So we're going to hear a dry mouth.
Yeah, your boy's going to be gumming his saliva like the old salts did on the sea back in the day.
Well, that's for me. I'm drinking a bubbly sparkling water blueberry pomegranate.
Wow.
Oh, refreshing. Mm. A little bit different than the Caring Crown days, this one.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's lost some of its pizzazz. Not a ham's in sight.
No.
Well, I'll tell you, none of the Caring Crown characters were responsible ship owners, okay? So one of us has to DD some episodes. Usually we, you know, I don't know who it's going to be, so.
That's true. That's what everyone's thinking on their 21st.
Can't be getting behind the wheel of a sailing vessel tonight. No way.
Even if I want to.
Best I could do is swab the deck in this condition. Well, I do have to give out a hero point. This one's going to Wit for losing out on the Thrower's Bandolier.
Aww,
it's a consolation prize. This one's from Cy J. Hodgkins. I'm back, and so are you. From the dead, I mean. If that's what you use this hero point for. You don't have to use it for that. I'm a note, not a cop. Oh.
Good reminder. Well, thank you.
Well, when last we left our heroes, they were sorted into the Man's Promise house and sent aboard the Man's Promise with most of the original crew, along with Plug and Scourge. They learned that Plug would be the captain of the Man's Promise and Scourge the first mate. They said a tearful goodbye to Grok, who gave them some very useful items, and they planned mutiny. But there's a wrinkle in their plan, because some of the people that they like are being forced to stay with Scourge and Plug and the Rahadumi sailors as something of an insurance policy.
That's a nightmare blunt rotation.
Right.
Plug, Scourge, some godless sailors.
And I think we left our heroes on a storm that has hit the Man's Promise on its second day away from the Wormwood. And that's where we find you. The bell for work chimes and Scourge shouts out, Thelonia, up in the rigging. Everyone is going to be working as a rigger today to get through this storm. Even you, cook's mate. And so I'm going to need some rolls on the rigging table. Remember, during the storm, all your checks are two harder.
Is that two in addition to the skeleton crew plus two?
It is, in fact.
That sucks.
Oh, no.
Wait, so plus four?
Yes.
Oh.
But if we work diligently, it's only a plus two total.
Yes.
But we need to talk to our friends. Sandy had something to say to me. Oh.
Guess you'll have to deal with it.
Who wants to take first roll?
I can do it. I got a three, which is upper rigging work.
Ooh. Okay, that's going to be... Hang on.
Yeah, let me just double check here on what I've got before I figure out if I'm working diligently. All right, you can say what it's going to be.
All right, this would be an athletics check first.
I'm working diligently. So this is at a minus two? Do I have to put the minus two?
Roll against the DC 15.
Okay. It didn't matter. I got a 12.
Okay. So you struggle hard climbing up into the rigging, and then I need you to make me a sailing lore or acrobatics check.
Oh, I accidentally even rolled acrobatics. So take out another 6 from that 12, and that's what I got.
Oof. It matters if you critically fail during the storm, so yep. Keep that in mind.
So that is a 6.
Okay. Not quite a crit fail. One away from one.
Almost.
Because I have...
Climbing diligently.
I have a -1 athletics, but a +5 acrobatics, so I accidentally clicked the wrong one. Anyways, sailing more?
Yes. This is a roll your check against the DC 13.
16.
All right, you succeeded that part. So when you finally make it up there, you manage to get some work done. Who's up?
Kyle will start working next.
All right, you're on line work. I need a sailing lore or an acrobatics check. Oh,
Kaya is not going to work diligently. Kaya really needs to talk to Sandy. I don't want her to get caught off guard or get pulled away before we can all break free. So I'll roll at the 4 higher DC, and I'm going to do sailing lore.
Okay. So that's going to be a DC 15 sailing lore.
All right. That's a 20.
Ooh. 20's good.
Nice.
To get the line work done. However, now I need you to make a DC 21 fortitude save to avoid fatigue.
Oh, that's not an easy check. Here we go. My specialty. That's a critical failure.
Okay.
Natural 1.
With a 1.
You are fatigued.
But Kyle would find the time. I guess not necessary to influence Sandy, but just to share the information that she has and find out what she had to say.
Sure. So you bump into Sandy on the deck because you're doing line work. So you're down on the deck, kind of like coiling lines and pulling lines and raising sails and that kind of thing. And you bump into Sandy. Oh, Kaya, I was looking for you.
Same here. We have some items to discuss.
Best do so quietly, then.
Yes, this isn't quite a friendly vessel. We don't want to be held here any longer than we need to be. We have most of the crew on board. We want to take over the ship. Rule it ourselves. We can do better. We don't have to rule with tyranny.
Well, you know I'm on board. With anything gets Plug and Scourge out of leadership positions, but they took all of the Rahadumi sailors and held a secret meeting in the captain's quarters last night. I don't know what they're planning, but they're certainly planning something. Notably, they left me and Cog out of it.
I wonder if it has to do with the direction we're taking. We're not headed to Port Peril.
Well, that seems likely then. Wonder if they've decided to take the vessel for their own.
I wouldn't be surprised. Say, common idea, it seems.
Best not get caught chatting. Do you have some kind of signal you'll be giving us? If we can't be with you to plan that the mutiny started.
Did we come up with a signal yet?
I don't think we have.
No, because I don't think we know when it's actually going to happen.
Here's your chance to make one.
All right.
On the spot.
Yeah. We were going to wait until after the storm.
Okay.
Can we it please be quite... caw?
That's
anyway, yes.
We haven't gotten a chance to fully flesh out our plan. It will be after the storm, unless the perfect opportunity arises. You'll know by my cawing if you hear a caw, caw. It's time for mutiny.
The mutiny call.
All right.
Caw, caw, it's time for mutiny.
Ever tell what's his face too?
Cawg?
Cawg, yeah.
They didn't even think we're calling
it's time for
Cawg.
Oh, one last thing. The Rahadumi sailors are not necessarily our enemies. If they come to join us, we should let them. But if they fight against us, they become our enemies.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. And I'll make sure I let Cog know. I know he's on our side as well.
Perfect. Then we just need to make sure Owlbear is informed as well.
Well, you'll have as good a luck reaching him as I will. Plug's got him locked up in his chambers on the mast that goes through there. Making sure nobody enters.
I was wondering where he's at. We'll have to find a way to reach him.
And Kaya will go back to working because she is, it's a busy day for her.
Absolutely. Who's up next?
Let me knock it out. Rigorous tasks, here we go. Alright, looks like I got rigging repair. So I gotta climb up with an acrobatics check. I am going to be working diligently because people have the notice of mutiny already. There's not much else for me to do here. So I'll be rolling, it looks like, against a DC 15 athletics.
Yep.
That is a 50-50 shot for me. Succeed with a dirty 20.
Okay. Now I need either a sailing lure or an acrobatics check.
All right. So he does his snake slither up the mast. And he's trying to, as the wind is pulling these sails and ropes are starting to fray, and the rigging is starting to pull apart, he's trying to get to it and notice it before it actually becomes a problem and snaps on people. I'm going to be using my knowledge of the seas, sailing lore, to try and prevent that. 24.
All right, successful at both tasks.
Crit success, if that matters.
Hey,
looks
yeah,
like.
Jot that down. Track the crits. Fails? Only fair.
Only
sure,
fair.
Sure, yeah. Jot it down. It's not going to do anything.
I'm right.
Jot it
down.
Jot it.
All right. We'll go.
All right.
Upper rigging work.
Are you working diligently?
I don't know. Somebody's gotta let Owlbear know.
Well, Wit doesn't know where Owlbear is.
That would make it hard to let him know.
Yes.
You can keep your eye out for him when you're working.
Yeah. Athletics it is. Working diligently.
Okay. It's going to be against the DC 15.
This is awful. Natural one on the die.
There's your crit fail.
Fine.
Jot that down.
So let's see.
These ship tasks. I tell you what. They're the way.
You're really bad for someone who is a sailor.
Yeah.
I need you to make me a reflex save.
It's hard to reverse sear the rigging, you know, or whatever else cooking term you want to use.
And the reflex save comes out to a 21.
So while you're climbing, the ship hits a swell and you fall 50 feet. Well, almost, except you grab an edge.
Oh.
Go ahead and give me the sailing lore or acrobatics check now for the second part of this.
That is no doubt going to be acrobatics, also at that DC 15. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a natural 2 on the die for an 8 total.
Okay, moving on to Grady.
Okay. I got 2 for line work.
All right. So that's going to be a sailing lore or acrobatics for the first check.
Okay, I am working diligently, and I'll be using sailing lore.
All right.
Oh, just barely with a 12 total.
Yep.
That's a fail.
So there's a fail. Now make me the fortitude save.
Okay.
It's going to be DC 19.
Oh, goodness. Hey, natural 20.
There you go.
I'm jotting it down.
Not fatigued from that lack of succeeding at your job. Maybe it was all that failing you were doing and actually doing the task that made you less tired.
Yeah, if you're not working, you're not getting tired.
Grady is hoisting lines and just screaming out the whole time, "She's a beaut, isn't she? A fine ship of sail." "Some men have never set a foot on a boat so beautiful. Look at how she cuts through the water." He's doing more talking than he is pulling the rope. That failed his task.
Those of you that are up in the sails, at least during the daytime, go ahead and make me a perception check. I think that's everyone but the line work folks.
18 for Atlas.
13 on the die for 19 total.
17 for Wit.
The three of you can actually make out while you're up there, get an angle on where on the side of the ship it says the man's promise. It's on like a placard. That placard is covering up another name. So this ship...
A scheme!
...is... maybe not as it seems.
The man's promise was a fucking lie.
Illegally registered.
I believe Calypso had enough to make out the name on the nameplate below.
Yeah?
The ship was called the Motley before it was called the Man's Promise. But you can also see... faintly etched below the Motley, even another name, but time has worn it down to be illegible.
Okay. Let's pass hands a few times, then.
Seems so.
Mysterious history, huh?
Does that make us the Motley crew?
Obviously.
It would. Hey, listen, we get into port somewhere, we'll pull up the ship facts and kind of see the ownership records. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have pirate lore or like notable pirate lore to know if that's a well-known ship?
I do. I've got notable pirate's lore, yeah.
Would you consider that knowledge somewhat esoteric?
Well, you were one of the ones to make the perception check.
I was not. I was doing line work.
Yes, did I notice the Motley? Because I noticed...
That was just Calypso.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it might be something Calypso can talk to you about at some point. You all, much like the prior storm, sail on into the night, still having to perform tasks. And after the sun has set and it's just dark, only lit by like the hooded lanterns on the ship itself, you maybe after eating like your rations, because none of you got like a full meal, had to quickly get back to work. You see several dark shapes board the ship.
What?
Oh, what? Those little schemers.
And to be clear, we're not close to port, right?
You are not close to the port you're headed to.
Might not be close to port, but we certainly are in peril.
Hey!
Got him.
I was more thinking if we were close to something, someone could take like a small lifeboat out, I guess, and get on as well.
Ah. Did anyone check if they loaded the bananas?
I think that was your job.
You're the cook's mate.
We haven't had any time.
You stocked the banana boat.
But you're the cook.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Can't deny that.
I'm going to need you to roll for initiative as six. You hear these like sucking sounds on the side of the ship, and then six Grindylows board the man's promise in the middle of the storm.
Wow.
Oof.
Oh, where would we be when this happens? Are we at our respective posts?
You guys, like I mentioned, you're on the deck just having, like, maybe had your rations. There are other crewmates, like, up in the rigging and that kind of thing, but you're the ones that are on deck right now.
Got it. We're just getting back from break.
Hey, wait, are you going to heal yourself?
I think we would have.
Yeah, sure. No, I know. I'm.
Yeah. But thanks for pointing that out. Jeez. It was a little bit down.
Got worried with the 12 hit points.
I did not expect to see some combat today. Here we go.
It's Grindylow tide.
Oh. Sea gobos.
So we're going to start this encounter off, and at the top of initiative is the Frank Grindylow that has just boarded the vessel right over the railing in front of Grady and is going to attack at Grady.
God.
With a tentacle that is a 21 to hit.
That hits.
Dealing 4 points of damage. And then it is going to attempt to grab you with that tentacle.
Oof.
But with a natural 2, will fail to do so. Finally, I think it's going to bite at you.
It's just a regular grapple fail.
With a 15, looks like it will miss you with the bite.
Yep.
Next, we have the analytical Grindylow that is going to move 10 feet up to Kaya and attack Kaya with a bite. But will miss wildly with an 11. And then will attempt... I think it's going to attempt a tentacle strike here.
Hmm.
How's a 19?
Oh, that hits.
Okay. Only 2 points of damage as the suckers kind of fail to cling to your feathery skin. Next is the agreeable Grindylow, who's going to move up to flank Kaya. Is going to attack at Kaya with a bite. 16 to hit flat-footed. You're off guard.
Oh, that just does because of the fatigue and off guard. Ugh.
It's going to be 6 points of damage as it sinks its foul little goblin teeth into your arm.
Ouch.
And then it is going to stab at you with this spear in its non-tentacled hands. So for the listeners and anyone that doesn't know what a Grindylow looks like, it basically looks like an aquatic goblin upper half with an octopus lower half. It looks like a goblin Ursula.
Oh.
That's a really good way to describe it.
Wretched. Wretched creature.
They're so cute.
Yeah, I can show you guys the art of these guys.
They're just like little monsters. They're just a little guy. Look at that.
They're just little guys.
With a lot of teeth.
They're just little guys.
They've got like two the black layers of braids, teeth. Too. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they got braids. And yeah, they have like the shark rows of teeth. It's like the goblin pointy teeth, but there's 2 rows of them.
They're
cute. So like here comes...
Sharktopus goblin. Sharktogoblinpus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
With a natural 2, though, it swings wildly with the spear and doesn't land. The obsessive Grindylow is up next. It is going to move up to Calypso and attack with a tentacle.
Rude as hell.
You were just saying how cute these things are.
Yeah, but like, I don't want to be attacked.
Ooh, that's a natural 19 for a 26 to hit.
Well, that hits.
It's going to deal 2 points of damage, and it is going to attempt to grab you now.
I'd prefer if it didn't.
Has an 18 versus your fortitude DC.
That beats.
Okay, so it has suckered onto you, and you're now grabbed. But there's something interesting about the Grindylow versus other creatures that grab. It has an ability called Clinging Suckers. So when it grabs a creature larger than itself, it attaches to that creature. The grabbed creature is not immobilized, but if it moves, the Grindylo moves with it. If the creature is medium or smaller, it takes a 5-foot status penalty to speeds while the Grindylo is attached.
Huh.
In addition, when the Grindylo is attached to a creature like this, it is also off guard.
Oh.
Oh.
Hey, you got the friend you wanted, right?
I did. That's kind of cute, actually. That just kind of stays around your leg. Yeah.
That was 2 actions. I think it's going to attack at you again with a bite.
That's...
But a 9 will not do it. Grady, you're the first of the party to act. The ship has been swarmed with Grindylos.
Grady's going to call, hoping his voice carries across the deck. We're under attack! Ring the bell, for God's sakes! I am curious. He's probably seen these things before, but he's curious about these specific ones. I'm going to try to exploit vulnerability against them.
On the one in front of you?
I think on the one that's attached to Calypso.
Okay.
Ooh, 17 on the die for a 25.
Yes, that is a critical success on the exploit vulnerability.
Okay, so I see no weaknesses, no resistances, no immunities. That gets me, how many questions does that get me?
That would get you 2 questions as well.
Whoa, okay. Weakest save.
Weakest save is will.
Okay. Any... I'll leave the last one up to you. Any interesting or relevant abilities you think that we should know?
Yeah, I think this might be interesting, especially for characters like you that have a bit of range. They only have a 10-foot move speed on deck.
Ah.
They can swim much faster, but they're pretty slow on land.
Grady, you'll call that out. These creatures are slow on our decks. We can kite them out if we need to. And so that's his action. First... thing he's gonna do, because he's got so what he does for his personal antithesis is like, I know a thing or two about goblins, I think something will carry over. He pulls out a sliver of seahorse hide and rubs it against his blade, knowing that goblins, land goblins, hate horses, so it must transfer. Then he's going to pull a ship nail and make a strike out at the one clinging to Calypso. 17 on the die for a 26.
That's a critical hit.
Oh, yeah. So I'll roll the damage. It shouldn't show the personal antithesis damage here, but when you take it, it should work. So that's minimum damage, 8 points of damage.
I only took 8.
Yeah, it looks like you don't have the effect on. So just take another 3.
Okay.
And I think knowing that they've got a slow move speed, where can I go that would be hard for them to follow me back to? I think he might move back to be flanking one of them with Kaya. And a good distance away-ish from the others.
Okay.
That's his turn.
It is now Atlas's turn.
All right, Atlas is sandwiched right in between a Grindylo that hasn't acted yet and Candy. Got a question for you.
Sure.
Looks like I'm about 15 feet away from a ladder. Suppose... I climb up that ladder. Is that an extra move on top, or is that just treated like difficult terrain? Because if that's the case, I could pop up that ladder in one move.
It'll be a move and then a climb, unfortunately.
All right, so that's not going to do what I want it to do. Atlas is going to, you know, smart dude, he's going to put a little bit of distance in between himself and the Grindylo, then is going to see that there's this one that is suckered onto his bard. He doesn't like that. And is going to target that creature. You know me, I love me my telekinetic wrens and ripping people to shreds, but I think instead, because this creature is off target, Atlas is going to target it with the telekinetic projectile. So he reaches up with his right hand, a little piece of reality cracks into this like flat glass looking projectile. And he slings this pane of glass-like reality, trying to do some slashing damage against the creature. That's a 19.
19 is a hit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
2d6 coming your way. 8 points of damage.
and you just shred it off the side of Calypso. Calypso just has like three or four tentacles still stuck to her, but the rest of the body has fallen to the ground.
That pane of glass bisects it right in between the octopus bottom half and the goblin upper half.
Ooh, I sense calamari in our future.
Perhaps.
Yeah, Whit, you better be cleaning up after this.
Speaking of Calypso, it is Calypso's turn.
This gives me the perfect opportunity to do a lingering composition and inspire courage. Let me do my performance check, as I believe the party could do with a little bit of song and dance here. We got a 21 performance check.
21 is a successful linger.
Awesome. So I am now going to inspire courage, and that's going to last for 3 rounds. So then my next action, I think I'm going to cast Phase Bolt at the one that is kind of under the sail on the map here.
The lazy Grindylo hasn't acted yet.
Well, it's lazy, so.
Oh, were they doing upper rigging work as well?
19 on the die.
Woo!
That's a crit.
Yeah.
Blow it away. Hit it with that upper register note from the bellows.
Yes, that's right. She just does one long, like, hit, and it comes out from the bellows and shoots directly at this lazy one, and you're going to take 10 points of damage.
Okay. Whit, you're up.
All right. So there is two of these Grindylos to the south that were attacking people, and they have now left. And I think I'm trying really hard to think of how I can move Whit and Candy and not be left in a point where they are flanked.
I suppose you could flank this one.
Mm-hmm. And then Candy could just go behind.
We could do.
Well, if you go here and Candy goes here, then you wouldn't get flanked, if that's what you were concerned about, is getting flanked.
Absolutely. So, first off, Whit is going to move.
Whit is going to trigger 2 attack of opportunities.
Oh, no. They have it.
Oh, no. Someone had it.
20 for the first one.
Oof, that'll do it.
That's going to be 4 points of damage. The second one is a 16 to hit, which will not hit.
Good. Whit is going to call out to Candy. I'm going to need your help over here, but keep an eye on our future captain. Make sure she stays okay. And so then Candy is able to move around following Wit's path, and they both have 1 attack left, and Wit is going to attack the
agreeable one between you and Kaya. Okay, remember, you haven't hunted prey, so you don't get your extra precision damage on this one.
And for some reason, I didn't have my trident out, but I would.
It's because you threw them all last combat.
Oh, yeah, but that's a natural 20.
Whoa!
That's a critical hit.
Woo!
We'll see how agreeable this Grindylo is to that.
For 8 damage.
Well, that wasn't crit damage, though, right?
Oh, for some reason, I just didn't roll the...
I don't think you have anything special, so I can just double it.
Yeah, you can just double it.
That kills the Grindy.
Yeah!
Oh, nice!
Now you can take Candy's attack.
Yes, please. And this is going to be with a claw. A 19 total.
That's a hit. Give it to
her. Yeah, for 10 damage.
All right, looking pretty hurt. It is the lazy Grindylo's turn. I think having been hit by Calypso is going to move up to Calypso and attack.
I kind of saw that coming.
Here comes a bite. That's a 22 to hit.
That hits.
That is 5 points of damage. and it's going to bite once more with a natural 2, will absolutely miss. The egocentric Grindylo will chase after Atlas, targeting Atlas with a tentacle. Natural 1.
Ooh, all right.
Good thing that wasn't on the grab. Missing there, it will attempt to bite you. Natural 19 for a 21.
That's a hit.
6 points of damage as it clamps down on you. Kaya is up next.
Kaya draws her new plus one extending boarding pike. And she targets the Grindylow that she is flanking with Grady right now. And she will stab out with that boarding pike. Ooh, that is a 23.
Because it is off guard, that's a crit.
And yes!
Inspire courage.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Nice.
That's 20 points of damage.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow. Nice.
You skewer it through the heart and it sputters in this burbling language. I'm kind of curious if any of you understand. Any of you speak Thalassic?
Absolutely, I do.
Yes, you probably hear it from across the deck, just like, curse you!
And Atlas just looks back at him and says, well, maybe to the ones that are alive still, you will die on this vessel. And that's in Thalassic as well. They probably didn't think they were going to be hearing that coming back at them.
No, I don't think so.
It's a little Thalassic Park on this ship here.
Kaya then runs up to flank the Grindylow that is right by Calypso, and she has just enough movement to go around, so should not trigger attack of opportunities.
Does not trigger AOOs. It is the Frank Grindylow's turn. He's going to target Candy with a bite. 16 on the die for 23.
That's a hit.
Dealing 3 points of damage. Will then attack with a tentacle. 16 to hit.
That is also a hit. Right on the AC.
Okay. 4 points of damage, and then with its final action, it will attempt to grab you.
Candy or Wit?
Candy, the one it attacked with the tentacle.
Okay. And so Candy is a small creature still, so
we'll just be grabbed like normal then. Won't be able to move around. It's only a 13 against Fortitude DC.
And that's not going to do it.
Okay, no grab there. Missed because of the agile map, which I believe is how grab works now. It works off of the map of the attack that did it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Grady is up next.
Ooh.
I know you probably can't see it because of the sail, but there is one right by Atlas down as well.
I think what Grady's going to try to do is move a little closer to that one. Just throw a couple nails its way.
Okay.
So I can get two attacks in, potentially. Killing it would be real neat.
I would appreciate that for sure.
Here comes the first one. 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
Nice. 7 points of damage. And the second one coming out. 19 on the dot, or 19 total to hit.
That also hits.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Roll well here. Another 7 points. Yeah!
It is killed.
Yes.
So, like, Atlas is just standing there. This thing has backed him up against the wall of the stern castle and the ladder, and he's about to go and about to soak an AOO because there's nothing I can do that's not going to soak one. And Grady just comes charging through the storm and darts him.
Yeah, two darts.
It's just like...
Falls dead. You look over to Grady. He raises his chalice and as a toast.
And I think, like, this is probably the first actual time that Atlas acknowledges Grady's, like, drunk old man shtick with, like, an air of respect. Because he always, you know, Grady's a little bit of a character, and Atlas is a scholar, and those two types of personalities don't always line up perfectly. Mm-hmm. He gives him this, like, no, this nod, this this brotherly nod.
Is it the up nod?
No, it's the down.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a respectful.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that brings it around to Atlas.
All right. Just freed up. The air around Atlas is going to crackle and snap as reality fractures around him. He unleashes his psyche as a free action, then targets the Grindylow that is harassing Candy and Wit. Doing a very similar thing to last time, he is going to cast the telekinetic projectile against him. Or her, who knows? We don't know.
Yeah, I haven't checked into the tentacles.
No, yeah, that's for later.
Or ask them in thalassic.
It's probably actually. No. No, I don't think we need to. Yeah. We don't need to do this.
There's probably a beak under there.
All right, telekinetic projectile. Here comes.
How do you self-identify?
So I can better insult you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm the Frank Grindylow.
Oh, and it looks like this is only a 13 total.
Yep, that's a miss.
Unfortunate. So with two actions soaked up by that spell, Atlas is going to spend his last action pondering what went wrong. As I recall the teachings, and this is something that's very similar to what Jack does in Speak with Plants. When I'm in my Unleash Psyche stage, I can basically like ready an action to help anyone out on almost anything.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, it's Calypso's turn.
It is, yes. Calypso is going to target... Well, I'm going to get an attack of opportunity, huh? Wherever I get, whatever I do.
Well, you can step.
True. But, yeah, I guess I could step towards Greedy.
Yeah, diagonal back.
I think I'll do that. I'll do one step diagonally back. And then I'm going to cast a phase bolt onto the lazy one that that I attacked earlier.
Play in fortissimo, Captain. As I roll my occultism check to try and aid.
Nice.
I do not aid, but I do not critically fail.
Okay. Well, it's an 18 on the die for 27.
Which is a critical hit on its own.
All right, nice. There you go.
All right. This is 16 points of damage.
Yeah, the music just like bursts its head. You see its like nostrils start to bleed, and then it just like slumps.
Nice. And that's three actions.
Wit is up.
There is one Grindylow left. Wit is going to target and declare it their prey and then attack. Easy peasy. Okay. Ooh, 23.
That's a hit.
Yes. Only 9 damage, but 9.
That is enough to kill it.
Ooh. Yeah.
Woo. So
skewer it through the chest with the trident. And you are out of combat.
Woo.
But not out of the storm. You quickly dispatch of the Grindylow in the darkness, but there is no rest for the wicked, as the ship has to continue on. You work into the night on your rigging tasks, but the sea only gets rougher. The winds only pick up. The lightning strikes, illuminating the horizon, this endless vast of ocean. Until that's not all you see. You see a shape looming on the horizon. What must be an island for its colossal size. And you hear above the waves Plug giving orders to avoid this island, but the wind and the waves are taking you toward it, and as you approach, you hear this gut-wrenching, scraping sound on the bottom of the ship, and you are all thrown forward. As the man's promise bottoms out on the reef, with an island looming in the darkness in the distance. And I need you to finish your drinks because we'll see you next week.
Oh, man.
The mutiny must be postponed yet again.
Hideous Laughter Productions is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Skull and Shackles is copyright 2012. Skull and Shackles and Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. Paizo, Pathfinder, and their respective logos, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo and used with permission. If you enjoy this show, consider listening to our other Pathfinder TUI show, the Bestow Curse Podcast, and supporting us on Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to our other actual play content.